Joining us now, always a pleasure to bring on my next guest. He is your state auditor. Jim Ziegler joins us on the line. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Well, good morning, Jeff, and all your tens of thousands of listeners.
You're very generous there, but thank you. Thank you. Let's get right into it. A couple of things, not necessarily related, but I think important in state government. First off, what do you make of these reports? I've been hearing the discussion of widening Interstate 10, and the report I've been hearing is from Mississippi to Florida, and obviously that would involve it ultimately, I would think, the Mobile Bay and the bridge and crossing it. But the Eastern Shore MPO addressing the possibility of at least widening I-10 from that the Spanish Fort Daphne exit there all the way to 59 near Loxley.
Well, I think it's needed, particularly from Highway 98 in Daphne all the way past Bucky's. Now, if you're going to go past Bucky's, and that's also the Baldwin Beach Express exit, you may as well go across the line. But the big thing is from Highway 98 in Daphne to 6 Lane. Right now it's 4, past Bucky's. Now, at that Bucky's exit, not only is there a lot of traffic going to Bucky's, but on beach weekends, a lot of traffic going to and fro the Gulf Coast by the Baldwin Beach Express. So in that whole area, there's a lot of congestion. There's a lot of buildings, commercial and residential, at the, what I call the Malbus exit, 181. So tomorrow, the Eastern Shore Metropolitan Planning Organization has a regular meeting. And on it, they have two projects that would widen I-10 to 6 lanes. The first from Daphne Highway 98 to 181, the Malbus exit. The second one from 181 to Loxley Highway 59. That's State Highway 59. So they are still short of this Bucky's idea. So that is a little more in the future, and I think they'll get to be a push to six-lane the thing past Bucky's. That's needed. And I'm just glad that somebody in the leadership in Baldwin County and Montgomery is looking at things that are really needed rather than some cockamamie idea cooked up in Montgomery by a bunch of Montgomery politicians. And I think that the widening will be approved. I think more or less the citizens of Baldwin County are for this. And so there you go. I think I-10 has got to be widened.
Well, isn't that something that's historically been an issue for this area? Is, highway construction, Mobile, and it may be true with a lot of things, but, I mean, you've been watching this game for a while, but particularly with roads and bridges, Mobile is an afterthought to a lot of the Montgomery so-called ruling class. The focus tends to be city of Birmingham. Birmingham was the big focus for much of my life, childhood. But it's it always seems like us down here in Southwest Alabama really are sometimes forgotten.
Well, I'm trying my best to loudly proclaim the need in Mobile and Baldwin counties and the rest of Southwest Alabama. I am the only one of two statewide officials from this area of the state, the other one being State Treasurer John McMillan, who is from Stockton, Alabama. And, of course, John McMillan has long ago moved to Montgomery, but he is of Stockton, and that's in North Baldwin County. He's a Stockton resident and native. So we are outnumbered in the legislature. The two counties down here, though they are large and have a lot of senators and representatives, was simply outnumbered by the rest of the state. So we have to do some wheeling and dealing to get anything done. Now, let me say this. The legislature rammed through a gas tax increase in 2019. 10 cents a gallon phased in fairly quickly, and it was to go for, guess what, roads and bridges. This I-10 widening is very much a needed road and bridge, and it can be widened with just a small portion of that 10 cent a gallon gas tax increase. You can bond that, back the bonds with the gas tax increase partially, and you can pay for this widening. You can also pay for the fixing of the I-10 Bayway Bridge. But in the past, the leaders in ALDOT and the Ivy administration have not seen fit to do that.
As you are aware, I spent time up in the Huntsville market when this gas tax was the big thing to rebuild Alabama-Ack Passage. I was up in Huntsville, and you go to the meetings up there, and hearing from listeners and other political officials, they saw Mobile getting its share out of the port expansion. They were taking fuel tax money and dredging the port because Richard Shelby, St. Shelby, was going to get us the money to match it, and we had to come up with our share. But whenever you talk about us not getting our share, well, people just say, well, what about the Port of Mobile? But I'm not – it's not clear to me that the people that live here really – it's going to be a benefit to the state. I get it, and we've had that discussion all the time. But if you're just a resident here trying to get to and from work, how does that better your quality of life?
Well, it doesn't. The Port of Mobile is not only statewide serving a number of industries in North Alabama. It's an international port. It's a thing of international commerce. And that's a different world from the roads and bridges within the state of Alabama. Of course, Interstate 10 is also a national federal interstate highway. It's the fourth longest interstate highway in the United States. It goes from Santa Monica, California to Jacksonville, Florida. And there are millions of cars that aren't from Alabama that go east and west on I-10. So there was no reason that federal infrastructure money should not pay for an I-10 enhancement of the current bayway or a basic new bridge to supplement the bayway. That has not been done. Now that President Trump lost the election in the end, or was declared to be the loser, the idea that we'd get some of the Trump infrastructure money to do that is gone. So we'd have to depend on Senator Shelby. Senator Shelby has been able to work across the aisle. He'll now be the ranking member of the Senate Finance Committee instead of the chairman. But because it's a 50-50 split in the Senate, the majority will need him to pass anything and to get things out of committee. So I believe we could still get some federal infrastructure money, despite the fact that the Senate has been lost to the new Democrat majority. You will remember that President Trump has promised, if he was reelected, he was going to put a new I-10 bridge in Louisiana. I understand they needed one. Well, so do we. Unfortunately, he will not be around for us to appeal for the infrastructure money. We'll have to be appealing basically to the U.S. Senate and hoping Senator Shelby can do his magic.
Joined by State Auditor Jim Ziegler here on the program. Jim, tell me the other issue here we want to get you on to talk about. This lease build program, a proposal from Governor Ivey. I guess we were supposed to get some kind of announcement last month. It hasn't come. We're still waiting here. We're a week away till the legislature meets What are you hearing on the Ivy prison program these days?
The Ivy administration has come up with a way to bypass the Alabama legislature so that they will not get to vote on the new Ivy prison lease plan. They will not get any input. It's all being done by the administration. I have a problem with that philosophically, but even worse, the plan is a bad plan. Their plan would have contracts let with private companies to construct three super prisons, huge prisons, one in Escambia County, Alabama, one in Bibb County, Alabama, and one in Elmore County.
Right.
And the contract would be for 30 years. The state would pay $88 million a year rent. Now, understand, that doesn't pay any prison guards and personnel, no food, no medical care. That's just the rent paid to these private corporations who would own the prisons. They would build them and they would own them. So at the end of the 30 years, the taxpayers of Alabama will have paid $2.6 billion, with a P, $2.6 billion. The equity that the state of Alabama would then have in those prisons is exactly zero. Zero equity. We wouldn't own a thing and would have to simply start over and pay for the prisons or some prisons again. This is no way to do business. A private businessman would never have concocted such a scheme to pay through the nose for 30 years and then you own nothing, zero equity in the prison. This needs to be stopped and it's not going to be easy. Every day that goes by, the Department of Corrections is moving on towards this plan, and they're going to, in the next step, be letting the contract. At that point, it gets harder and harder to block the thing. The state legislature could block all of this, but it would take some tough medicine. For instance, outlawing this kind of scheme, making it illegal. Or, secondly, to take $88 million out of the Department of Corrections budget and announce your intention to the administration that we're not going to pay that $88 million. And either of those two things could do it. And hopefully there'll be some other ways that when the legislature comes back 1 week from today, Groundhog Day,
Jack Daniels whiskey,
that they'll be able to have some way to stop a bad, irresponsible prison plan.
Jim, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but thanks for making time for us this morning, and we'll do it again real soon.
Well, thank you. Thank you so very, very much, Jeff. Appreciate your concern for these issues.
I appreciate that. It was very kind of you. State Auditor Jim Ziegler, ladies and gentlemen.